everyone, and welcome to the Workforce Excellence Show episode 8. My name's Roisin and I'm happy to be back here to relaunch the show today. For this episode, I'm joined by Ramesh Menon, co-founder and executive director of the company Sevitur. For some of you who joined us at the Workforce Excellence Conference, you might recognize Ramesh from the Operational Excellence Room where he gave a talk there. So Ramesh co-founded Sevitur back in 2018. He has extensive experience in digital transformation and nearly two decades of experience in the UK technology industry. He's known for driving strategic transformation deals across Europe, the UK and Asia Pacific. So thank you for being here today, Ramesh. It's a pleasure to have you with us again.
No, pleasure to have you, and thanks for having me on the
call.
It's a pleasure.
So today you're here to talk to us about digital empowerment and the business benefits of using digital workers. So to start, could you tell us what a digital worker is?
Super. Absolutely, Roisin. So if, you know, in the world of work, you know, as technology has evolved, as time has evolved, today we have capability to get what is known as a digital worker, which can be enabled along with, you know, your human workforce. So effectively, a digital worker is a piece of software that works on a computer that can mimic the actions of a human worker. So let's take, for example, any activity performed on a computer, which involves a human user going into different applications. For example, you're going into an email, downloading some material, processing that information into an Excel file, uploading into an end system like an ERP system, and generating a report. These are all activities that a user does day in, day out. Now, the good news is you can actually train a software robot to do that, to mimic the exact actions of a human, effectively freeing up the human to do more productive work. Yeah. So a digital worker is a compatriot that works alongside you in a computer. It's a piece of software. It's powered by a technology called RPA, Robotic Process Automation. It's one of the fastest growing technologies in the world today.
So I initially thought that it was something performed through a database, but it seems that the digital worker is literally performing the task at hand. So like logging in and so on. Could you tell me a little bit about how this is done?
Super. So, a lot of folks, when you hear the word process automation or robotic process automation, you think about it being a very technical piece of activity. And this is where, the technology is so unique and different, and why the reason why we call it a digital worker, because everything a digital worker does using RPA technology is mimicking the action of a human worker on the screen. So it's an on-screen transaction. So it's literally replicating the actions on screen on a UI basis. So it's not something done in the background on a database. I mean, you could train a digital worker to do actions in the database, but the real power of the technology is to actually use the scripts which effectively code the way a user would interact on the screen and replicate that with the software robot. So any system, it can be any application, where there is meaningful data that can be accessed, what we call a structured data. So it could be an email application, it could be an ERP application, a CRM application, a web portal, could be a database for all you know. You could train the digital worker to literally transact across these applications, what we typically call hands-on keyboard-based activities, and replicate that. And they can work alongside you. So you can continue your day job in ease, and the digital worker would take on all the boring, repetitive stuff on the side, so that you can focus more at what needs to be done, customer interaction, growing your business, rather than doing data entry.
Oh. So is the digital worker fast at performing the work?
It's phenomenally fast. Depending on the application, depending on the task at hand, on an average, statistics say that it's between 10 to 20 times faster than what a human could perform on a computer. Let me give you an example. We for one of our customers, there is an extremely complex transaction that's performed on an Oracle ERP system, mm-hmm. Where they have to onboard a new customer. Literally, there is around 30 to 40 different tabs and screens that a human user has to go through and enter the data. Now, what happens in such data entry is that one, obviously, is the time that it takes to enter, but two, when you start copying data from an Excel sheet and start feeding in a system, for example, sometimes you make errors. You might make a typo, or you might make a copy-paste error, which can have other problems. So what used to take around 45 minutes for a human user to do, in this particular case, the digital worker literally takes 4 minutes. So it's that fast. So, but you can't say that's the speed comparison for every application. It depends on the application. It depends on the load time. But, it's phenomenally fast, and transaction speeds can be very, very quickly improved.
So can you give us another example of a digital worker in action?
Sure. I mean, there are loads of cases, but let me give you, a classic case where I look for, an end-to-end process and where the digital worker comes in. So in one of our, customers where we work with, they get a number of payments on a subscription basis. So they offer a service to a customer where they get monthly payments from customers. So what happens is typically, and they have to download the bank statement, then they have to reconcile the bank statement, which then they have to make sure they're on a Salesforce CRM system. So they have to go into Salesforce. They have to do a number of transactions within Salesforce. Once that's done, then they need to make sure all the financial transactions are correctly entered in their backend SAP system. So somebody has to log in there, perform that transaction. Post which, they also need to make sure that all, once they reconcile the data, that everybody has paid on time. And if people have not paid on time, they have to chase them up for payments, using email or using, Salesforce CRM based, message queries. Now, this entire process has been automated by a digital worker. So every day, the digital worker will, get the bank statement, scan through it, compare all the elements that need to be, make the relevant entries in Salesforce. Then it logs on into SAP, makes the standard SAP GL transactions, then downloads another report from Salesforce to see who all have not paid, starts emailing out the activities. So this is probably a process that happens every day, but the as a growing company, your biggest challenge is, you have a lot of these kind of tasks which take a drain on your resources, because you have to keep the business going. You have to talk to customers. You have to solve real world problems. You have to grow, you have to improve your customer experience. But rather than that, a lot of your staff is involved in backend into data processing and data entry. And this entire activity has been automated. So you can see an entire life cycle, right from taking data, reconciling, updating systems, sending reports, so it's an end to end, the potential with automation is quite phenomenal.
So you just mentioned there about improving the customer experience. So how can the digital worker benefit the customer experience?
The customer experience, so there are two, I would say there are two aspects to a customer experience. One is obviously the internal customer experience for an organization, and then the end customer experience, which is the customer of the customer. So let me give you both. In terms of an end customer experience, let's say you're a retail organization or an e-commerce organization. We do work with a couple of e-commerce organizations. Now, a typical, standard activity is in terms of order processing. So when you get large bulk orders from, your customers, these have to be processed in your internal systems. You have to make sure that the right items, the right quantities are processed, so that the order can be generated and it can be subsequently dispatched. Yeah. Now, a lot of this involves manual activity in the backend. Now, what companies try to do is they club together these orders, do it in, you know, a certain, you know, in a certain approach where it is either staggered or it is, you know, batched together. And then it is, depending on that, they have an SLA to the end customer. Now think of a scenario where this is automated. You could have regular runs of this process where the digital worker is going in, checking for any new orders that have come, very quickly process it in the system and, you know, send the details out so that it can be dispatched. So literally, you can cut a dispatch time, which used to take a couple of days, into a few hours, as long as the processing is done internally. Now, what happens is when I'm an end customer, I'm placing an order. Mm-hmm. If my response time from 2 days becomes, you know, 1 day with the company, it's a much better customer experience. Same with internal customers. So, you know, you might have activities that typically cause a backlog for you. Now, the beauty of a digital worker, it works 24/7. So you can have a lot of activities done at night. So we have a lot of situations where we batch together activities and it's processed overnight, so that by the time you come in the morning, it can be a customer services team where the number of activities that are processed overnight, you come in the morning, it's all done, and you have a clear backlog. You know, there's no backlog for you to process. So you are much happier and you can focus on the activities at hand. So it helps both ways.
So a big one might be that some people might want to ask would be, what about data security in relation to the digital worker?
It's a classic question, and it is a very relevant question because at the end of the day, you know, any customer, any, you know, your data is sacrosanct, and with GDPR coming in, you know, it becomes even more important that, you know, you follow the norms. That's where, you know, technology like this is brilliant, because when you talk about a digital worker, the digital worker actually works on the application, your applications, and it works on your data. So there is no concept of, you know, taking the data elsewhere and processing and bringing it back. So, you know, in many cases where you had even activities like, you know, where you had BPO work, in this case, your BPO is going to be done within your systems. So you, the digital worker physically can be located on the cloud, or it can be located within your infrastructure. But all the transactions that the digital worker does is on your systems and your applications. Now, the other side of it is, if everything that a digital worker does is completely audit trailed. So if I'm doing 10 transactions by a digital worker, you know, there is a complete transaction trail log that is mentioned, you know, record one, this was the time it started, this was the time it stopped, you know, this was what was performed, and this was the output. So you can actually go back and have complete traceability, which, you know, even as human workers, when we do a transaction on a computer, we don't keep track of everything that we do. So that's there. And one very other interesting aspect is, it's a piece of software that's being, that's doing something that it's trained to do. So if you, let's say you give a digital worker a bank statement to transact, it's not trying to understand what the statement is or what the values are. It's just taking, if for it, it is a number that it takes from field A, puts it in field B, and does some process. So it's, from a data point of view, it is secure. From transaction logging, you know, and, you know, traceability, it is absolutely secure. And, you know, as long as it's, you know, there are the way a transaction is, you know, proved, there is no way for any leaks to happen, you know, and once you ensure that, right, so it's very, very secure in what it does.
Almost more secure.
Absolutely.
So how long would it take to see the results?
This is where I think organizations really have to see how a digital worker is deployed, because if it is an in-house program, or if it is something that you're going to start nurturing, it can, you know, it can take a good few months to deploy technology, get it production ready, and test and run, and, you know, get some value out of it or returns out of it. But there are, you know, ways which it can be done much faster. For example, what, you know, Sevitr as a company offers is where we have a completely managed service in digital workers. And for us, it literally takes 3 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks, to train a digital worker on a process and deploy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we could have a conversation today on a process, and in 3 weeks, I can deploy you know, the digital worker in our world, our digital worker is called Joe. So we call our digital worker Joe. We say, you know, Joe can be deployed on your process in literally 2 to 3 weeks. All we have to do is have a 30-minute session to capture the requirements. And then, you know, from there is a process of documentation and development, which is a couple of weeks, and then it's deployed. It's very, very quick. So you don't have to think of getting a digital worker like, you know, in the traditional sense of a huge IT program. No, it's not. Mm-hmm. Think of hiring a digital worker just like hiring a human worker. You know, you get somebody, you train and deploy that person in a couple of weeks. Digital worker should be no different. It's that fast.
So this is probably a question that you get asked a lot. It probably springs to mind for most people whenever you mention digital worker and kind of start explaining what a digital worker is. So I'm just going to ask, what about the impact on human workers? Does it have an effect on jobs?
It's a very relevant and it's a great question. The reason it's, you know, if you look at, it's a question everyone has mm-hmm. when you consider automation, when you consider anything where technology is deployed, which is taking on an activity performed by humans. And AI, you know, there is a lot of scare using artificial intelligence. But the reality is, you know, very different. In most cases, digital workers are not replacing humans. Mm-hmm. They are empowering humans to be more productive. So you cannot, in any case, take a human being out from a particular job, because whatever, you know, however much AI evolves, however much, you know, technology of automation evolves, you still have the human judgment coming in to make a decision to see what is right for the business. You need the empathy mm-hmm. of a human transaction coming in for businesses to grow. You can't automate everything, right? So what technology like this, however, does is enable that human to be more productive in what they do. So if, let's say, 30 to 40% of your time is spent doing data entry work on a keyboard, that's removed. Yes, there are certain jobs with data entry jobs, etc., which would be, you know, impacted. But that's evolution of technology, because even if you look in the past, you know, when banking software came, when ERP softwares came, the same discussion was had. They said, you know, now there are not going to be any more bookkeepers, you know, accountancy jobs. No, in fact, the reverse happened. Bookkeepers and accountants doubled in size purely because as businesses, increased, transaction volumes increased, commerce increased, and there are so many numerous cases. So there is always a doomsday prediction when a new disruptive technology enters a market. RPA is slightly different in the sense that it's trying to mimic a human worker. So, and there have been, you know, certain cases of large companies having taken cost out of certain operations, you know, using this. But in reality, in most cases, at least in the work that, you know, businesses like us do, it's to empower people to be more productive. And I think that's where the world is going to go. Humans will shift to doing more productive, more creative work. And the boring side will be automated. And it's, like I said, it's an evolution of technology.
So what are the benefits to employees then?
Quite a few. The biggest benefit I would say is, you know, you would do a part of your job that you really enjoy. So if you're a sales guy, you know, you will enjoy selling rather than doing CRM entries for in the back end. If you're in customer services, you know, you will focus on customer intimacy and getting you know, matters resolved, and you know, increasing the way you increasing you know, the way you transact with customers, or the way you do business, improving the way you do business. And so that's one, the productive side of things, where, you know, the time at hand is much better. Two, when you have peaks and troughs in your business, where you know, for example, you might be a retailer, you might have a peak trading season in December, you will have volumes double. With help of technology like this, you will always be able to keep it at a pace that is manageable. So you can have volumes increasing, but it doesn't mean that you have to run doubly hard every time. So it puts lesser pressure on you as a person. And third, you know, very importantly, it spurs innovation. And that's a very, very important aspect, because as an employee, you might have a lot of ideas that can be done. But many times what happens is those ideas mean that you have to spend more time in a computer or an activity that you have to do. Here, you have an opportunity to use digital workers to do a lot of heavy lifting in terms of the transactional activity. And you can focus on the outcomes to use human judgment to understand how it can be done better and focus on those values of those outcomes. So yes, you know, from a productivity point of view, from you know, an innovative innovation point of view, from reducing workload, there can be a number of benefits.
So technology like this, is it only for big companies? What about the smaller companies and startups?
Great question. It used to be the case that technology like this was only for big companies. I would say a few years back, because the technology itself is expensive. I mean, when you say expensive, you might hear things like, you know, I can buy a bot very mm-hmm. cheap, or it, you know, I can get a free trial license. It's not about that. Yeah. When you actually calculate the cost of deploying technology like this, it mounts up, because you have to go from trialing something out to getting it into a robust shape, which is based on best practice. And then you need to be able to run it with, you know, a proper service layer around it, and then make sure that the digital worker is contributing to the efficiency of the company. So it becomes a program in itself. So that you have licenses to think about, you have services to think about, you have consultancy to think about, etc. So it used to be the case that, yes, only the large companies went for it because they could see benefit from deploying it. But in the last few years, things have changed dramatically, because you have had newer business models come in, mm-hmm. which challenged the status quo and said, why should... And that's, in fact, one of the mottos of Cevita when we set up the company, is why should technology, which is disruptive in nature, be the purview of large organizations? Why can't it be, you know, across any size of company? I mean, if today you go, you can get, an accounting software like Xero or, ClearBooks. You can go online, subscribe to it for, £10 a month. Anyone can do that, a small business or a large business. Why shouldn't automation be on a similar model? Mm-hmm. So there are different business models that have come out which have made that possible. For example, the way we deliver digital workers is on a pure subscription basis. So we you don't need to do any upfront investment in technology, in hardware, in licenses, we bundle it all together and enable organizations to hire a digital worker, just like we would hire a human worker and pay a salary to the digital worker. So there are ways and means you can dice it. So earlier, yes, to answer your question, it was the purview of bigger companies. Today, no, it's not. With business models, newer companies that have come, we can absolutely disrupt that status quo and make it affordable for size of any company. In fact, we do have a couple of use cases where we work with startups and helped develop some key processes for them.
Brilliant. Okay, so I just have one more question here. So how far do you see this type of automation going in the future?
So in terms of, the evolution of automation, it's today, what I have talked a lot about is robotic process automation. But it's moving to a new era called intelligent automation. So what exactly is intelligent automation? So it's where that digital worker can start dealing with more complex data. So let me give an example, right? If I send an invoice to a digital worker to sort of solve, which can be a scanned, sort of, which can be a PDF file or an Excel file, it's great. It's a data point, it'll take the data, resolve it, as per the process, it'll, enter it into the system, do the transaction, generate a report, etc. But let's say if I send a scanned image of an invoice, which is, in any format, it can be a JPEG or a scanned PDF. A human can easily understand it because he can read. But for a computer, it's just an image. So you don't understand the data elements in it. But there is technology there today to actually extract data from images using advanced OCR and image recognition, where you convert that image into data, which can then be processed by a standard robot. So that's one element of it. But there are lots of other ways where which more complex data sets can be understood. Then there's a question of machine learning and artificial intelligence coming, you know, where we can, you know, where you can combine it with analytics to be able to do higher level of prediction, more granular analysis of data, etc. So whilst there is standard RPA to do the boring repetitive stuff, when you start combining it with intelligent software, where you can understand higher unstructured data, where you can do machine learning, where you can do advanced analytics, you combine all, or you can deal with conversational solutions where you have chatbots, talking to people, or understanding typed text using natural language, then the use cases using automation become much more powerful. Are we there yet today? Yes, there is technology available and it is developing. It's not fully robust yet. It's early stages. So there are use cases which work. There are some use cases which you can deploy for a nice feel-good factor. but it's evolving. And I think the next 3-4 years will see a significant change and significant shift in this regard.
Thanks for answering that one for us there. That was actually a question that came in from one of our listeners. And we have another one here from another viewer. So they've asked, are there any new skills that people need to work with a digital worker?
Fantastic question, actually. There are two aspects to skills when we talk about, because one is obviously the skill required to get a digital worker working. So there are lots of technologies out there, and if you need to develop a digital worker, then that's a slightly technical skill that's required. Mm-hmm. There are non-technical ways where you can do simple workflows. More complex activities need technical skills. But that's where, you have organizations to help you, like ourselves. You don't need to worry about the technology or the deployment. We can take care of that, do it for you. But the skill that is required is effectively the operating model, which means a lot of the processes that are deployed, we talked about the human element earlier, need to make sure that the handoff between the human and the robot is seamless. So let's say there is a complex end-to-end process. You might have that the process starts at one end. Let's take a simple invoicing process, for example. You might want to get the digital worker to do all your invoice generation for you. So you might have a process which takes all the inputs, generates the draft invoices, then creates a complete report, sends it to the human user and say, are you happy with this? So the human user would just look and say, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, yeah, perfect, gone. Click a button. And then once he presses the button, it goes into generating the final invoice. So there is a handover from a human, from a digital worker to human worker, and then vice versa. So how is that handover done? You might get an email, and once you've finished approving it, you might have to put it into a certain folder, etc. So that's something that is, as you develop automation, there is a standard operating procedure that's developed where human to robot handoff is clearly articulated as to what is it that you need to review or look at before it's handed off. So that's the kind of training that's required. The other side is potentially there are options where you have what is, I don't want to get too much into the technical side, but you have what is known as attended bot and an unattended bot. So effectively, most of the processes when we talk about, which I talked about, are unattended, which is completely managed and operated centrally. But when you talk about unattended bot, it's something that sits on your desktop and you need to trigger it when you need it. So if in such a model, then you probably need to understand a bit of how you start triggering it and what you need to watch out for. But these are all specifics. In very, very simple terms, if you have a very simple managed service model, working with you, then all you need to focus on is the outputs and how you need to give the inputs in the process. And that's pretty much it. Hope that answers the question.
Okay, yeah, brilliant answer. Thank you. So just tell me now, how can our listeners find out more or get in touch with you?
Oh, super. I mean, you can reach me directly. I'll give you my email. It's keep it simple, Charlie Sugar Mike Oscar, CSMO, at cevitr.com, CEVITR. So I'll repeat it, Charlie Sugar Mike Oscar at CEVITR.com. So you can reach me, or you can go to a website and there's cevitr.com and you can put a contact us form in, you know, and I'll be happy to, you know, depending on your use cases, I'll be happy to show you some real life examples of a digital worker in action. So that opens up some thinking. And, you know, we can go through a number of these use cases. Sometimes also the question is, you know, is it applicable for me? And, you know, I can think of a few ideas, but I don't know if it's automation friendly. You know, feel free to just have a chat with us, because we can actually look at look at what you have in hand. And I'm not, you know, it's not a chargeable service or anything. We can look at it and, you know, I can tell you whether it makes sense for a process to be automated in two ways. One, you know, commercially, is it viable? Because automation unit should be commercially viable for you. So is it make sense? But two, is it, you know, friendly? Is the process, you know, does it lend itself to automation? So we can very quickly arrive at value, because ultimately what we, in all our engagements, what we try to validate is any process from an automation point, it should generate you value. And that value should be an outcome benefit. So it should either give you faster times, or it should give you a better quality of data, or it should give you more accuracy, or it should give you a better, you know, a customer experience. So we can validate that quickly, look at a process, tell you what would be the, you know, benefit that if it is there, then does it make sense for you to automate it? And then, like I said, it takes 2-3 weeks. It doesn't take much time to get it going as well. So happy to have a chat and take that forward.
Brilliant. Thank you, Ramesh. Thanks for answering all of our questions today. And thanks for joining us again to be part of the Workforce Excellence Show. It was great to have you back.
Super. And thank you. Thank you, Ruthin. And thank you, Chris.
That's all for me today then. So thanks for everyone who joined in and listened. And keep an eye out for the next episode of the Workforce Excellence Show.